it happened again. You formed a task-oriented group with the hopes of achieving something. Instead, nobody knew what was expected of them, nor what they were working towards, so the project crumbled. This phenomenon occurs regularly when individuals within a small group fail to establish their goals, rules, and norms. Essential in the process of group formation, these guidelines should surface readily and meld with each group role and characteristic. I'm Ross Breezy, and this is Know It All. According to humanities researcher and author of Small Group Communication, Jasmine Lineberry, norms are standards for a group devised by said group. These can be conscious and formal, as in distributing a leaflet describing the group's criteria, or unconscious and informal, like negative nonverbal cues when a member checks their phone. Communications professors John Brillhart and Gloria Galanes divide these further into two categories: general norms, which dictate the behavior of the group as a whole, and role-specific norms, which apply to members with designated functions. The former might forbid speaking out of turn or regulate meeting times, while the latter sets expectations for certain jobs, like task leader, recorder, or expediter. The best way to establish these group norms early on is through regular meetings. Convening often creates interdependence, which naturally leads to the norming stage of Tuckman's model of group communication. This step is tailor-made for group norms to be deliberated and enacted, which is how the work group norm is developed. The work group norm is not usually verbalized or debated, but formed from the collective understanding, sound or not, of a group's purpose. For example, though a group may be fashioned to create and implement a marketing campaign, the work group norm might be to sabotage that campaign through social loafing. In 1996, academic psychologist Richard Hackman identified five key factors of workgroup norms. The summarization of group regulatory processes eases how individuals manage one another. An application on conduct versus thought spares personal beliefs in favor of observable actions that can be changed. Shared importance shows that norms only form when all or most members agree on their significance. Work group norms experience gradual development that can be hastened, and not all work group norms apply to all members of the group. To elaborate further, business professor Daniel Charles Feldman found four functions that work group norms serve. These are group survival, expectation simplification, shame avoidance, and group identification. These factors and functions begin to coalesce in group socialization. Group socialization differs from Tuckman's norming stage in that it lasts not for a small segment of time in the early stages of the group, but continues throughout and beyond as new members are added and current members change. But what are these norms made to elevate and encourage? The group's goals. Psychologist Edwin Locke and organizational professor Gary Latham, the very creators of goal-setting theory, define a goal as the object or aim of an action. A group's goals, then, are the final destination of their joint purpose. A group formed from a shared instance of injustice, like a mass layoff, for example, may come together based only on their cumulative characteristics, but will form a coherent objective rooted in their mutual adversity, like protests to reinstate workers or news interviews to spread the word. This specific group will find cohesion in a complete and resounding unity with one another, and their norms will regulate their final goal. Goals, rules, and norms are the definitive elements of any productive group. Norms are established early in group development, regulating both the team and the individual's conduct. Work group norms form without much conscious input and can make a group either efficient or comatose. These norms ebb and flow as group socialization does, leading to the creation of and strive towards a collective group goal. Without these tools, small group communication would be a dreary and bewildering arena where nobody had a grasp on their group's function or form. Utilizing these elements will carve a path for a cohesive and comprehensive task-oriented group where each member is certain of their duty and their group's end goal. This podcast is produced by the Community College of Baltimore County's New Media Collective and the Media Studies Program, written by Ross Breezy. My name is Ross Breezy, and this has been Know It All. Listen to all our episodes to learn something new in 5 minutes. Check the show notes for links to my sources, a transcript, and other good content. Bye for now.